You feel its edges in your mind before they even reach your fingers. There's a tremor inside it. Dare you open it? Too late. You already have. Welcome to Haunted MTL's Combo Box with Jay and Brannick.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Combo Box. This is a special sneak peek edition. With me, it's very special, and with me is a special guest host, Jim Phoenix.
I am also special guest. Jim Phoenix, that's me today. Hello folks, how are you doing? Thanks for having me. Sponsored today by nobody.
Nobody.
No sponsors, I'm sorry. I'm just drinking beer. If anyone wants to sponsor me, PayPal me some beer. Thank you.
I'm drinking wine. If there's a wine company that would like to sponsor me, I prefer white and fruity, just like me.
I'll say just like me.
Anyway, our sneak peek comes from Little Sparks Films and is The Torturer, which is a short film, which is not out yet, which is why it's a sneak peek.
Right, which is what a preview is. You preview, so like a sneak preview means it's not out to general population yet. And what happens is sometimes Jimbo, that's me, I check my emails and there's like links and stuff. Every once in a while, it's not granny porn. And I'm like, oh, it's not granny porn. I'm like, oh, okay. What is it? But I love Little Spark Films. They had some really cool ideas with Clive Barker's work before. And so I saw this, like, I think this is the perfect one to launch into our two-parter on sneak peeks for the combo box.
Yes.
So wait. What are you eating for your combo box?
What did I eat today? I don't know. And I can't even remember.
Her name. Me neither. I want to say like Samantha, I think.
Mine was spouse. I can't get in trouble.
They all start with the letter S.
I have not heard of this company before, so this was a treat. And I have not done a sneak peek before preview thing. So this was a double treat for me.
Yeah. And I really loved how you kept texting me like, are you sure this is a video? It's got like stuff written on it.
Yeah. I thought it was like a promo or something or a making of.
Well, technically it is a promo. That's what sneak peek is, a promotional video.
Sorry. I'm not used to being on this side of the critics board. Usually I'm
like, it's behind the scenes. I'm like, it is?
I'm used to like the videos that I watch being from the 70s or 80s and not from it's not even from today. It's the future. It's from the future,
from tomorrow. It's not even out yet. How do we even have this technology?
And I was baffled. I'm old. I don't understand technology, kids. Okay.
Dinosaur.
So we're going to talk a little bit about it. It is called The Torturer. When I saw the art for it, it is this very ghastly and grisly headshot of a person kind of like with the teeth and mouth kind of like carved away to this grotesque looking face to where you can see inside of its mouth.
It looks like Evie. That's what you told me in break. Brannick's being so nice. They're like, oh, they're describing it. Like,
honestly, this looks a lot better than Evie.
It looks better than Evie.
Yes.
What you said, slightly somehow it smells like Evie? I don't know how that's going to be. Like
that's true.
Gangrene wound.
That's true. Guys. She's very subterranean, very, not really, but sure. But it's very ghastly and very eye-catching. And I was really excited because I was like, this is beautiful. Beautiful work. So I don't know who did it, but they got a really good artist to do this.
And that's what I noticed too. And when we do do movies for Haunted Montreal or Haunted Metal, depending how much I want to keep a Canadian name. When we do movies for Haunted, when we review them, that's the first thing we always talk about. Like, what was the poster look like? Because some posters are like, they just gave up. And then some poster, the entire budget went to the poster. Like this was a really a damn good one. Mm-hmm. Most of the time shorts to like posters and shorts don't go together, but this is well done.
Very well done.
It's a good tone for this.
Yes, especially too because I think you could have gone overdone, and this was very simplistic, which a lot of the movie is very simplistic.
Absolutely. I was going to say, it. One of the strengths of this movie is when I'm watching, I'm like, oh, I can see why this is a short and why they make this out, because it doesn't take that much money to make a good horror film. Mm-hmm. And that's what one of the positive goals. If you ever want to see someone get tortured for 30 minutes and have a positive takeaway, that takeaway should be like, shit, I can do this too.
Right.
And that's one of the greatest things about shorts and indie film is you can see where you can go with it. And you can see you don't need a huge budget. It's like, what was it? Two locations? One's a hallway? One's kind of like the warehouse-ish?
I would say three. I would say three maybe locations. Because there was the interrogation room. But okay. That turns into something later.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's the hallway. And then there's the room that he is kept in. But I don't know if that could be the same as the interrogation room.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was the same room, just a different setup.
It probably is. But I would say three sets.
Three. Now, warning kids, we won't spoil the ending. But we'll talk a little bit about the ending without talking about the ending.
Yes.
That makes sense. Very good. So we don't want to say, here, everything happens, so you don't have to like watch it. Because you know, for our podcast, we actually will go longer than the movie runtime.
Yes.
And not just for just a short movie, just any film at all.
Any film.
Kill Bill, still doing that podcast. Yeah, still going on.
Yep.
As soon as I see it, I haven't seen Kill Bill yet. Sorry.
You have to see Kill Bill. And then there's a Kill Bill 2. There's like there's the first sequel? Part and then the second part. It's going to be a while, but yes.
Back to torture.
We're going to try to just be precise enough, but also vague enough. And this story, too, is not a story that's completely out of the realm. I'm sure a lot of people kind of know the core concept of guy does not know his past. There's a lot of strange events.
What's your name? What did you do? Tell me.
Who do you work for?
What's your number? It's basically Tinder dating, really. What's your name? Who's your number? Swipe.
And it's just as painful.
Less ghosting.
It kind of reminded me a little bit, too, of one of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes where...
Shatner?
No. I love me some Shatner. The one where all of those characters are in a box and they don't know why they got there or how they got there. Or who they are.
I blame drinking. Whenever I end up in any box, metaphorically or metaphysically, it's just always a bad choice, life choices.
That's how you ended up in the combo box.
Hey, there you go. Bad life choices ended me up in the combo box.
So we open with this guy who's chilling with a rat, which we never see the rat again. I wanted to see that rat again. I'm sorry.
He's like the Flash off of TikToks.
I wanted to see that beautiful rat. It was a very nice looking rat. It was a very pretty white rat. Never saw it again. We don't know his connection with this rat. Okay, I might be going into this rat a little too much, but it was a very cool rat.
What the hell did you do?
Supposedly, it looks like it's supposed to be like a rundown place that he's in.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out why I black out every time a movie starts. He did the same thing with like the other movie we reviewed. I'm like, there's a what?
Yeah, that's okay. I black out with a lot of things. When we were watching Asylum, I didn't even know there was a cake mixer. So apparently there was. Didn't see it.
Asylum, wasn't that with...
That was with Pain.
Okay, yeah.
Yep, that was with Pain, and that was on High Art Camp.
And but a pretty good podcast, if you want to listen to that one.
Yeah, but he apparently has mixer vision, and I don't.
Don't we all?
Except for me. I just have beaver vision. None in this film, by the way.
I was saying there is no beaver in the unless there that is. Rat was a beaver. Well, maybe the rat was a beaver in disguise, playing a rat.
But it was a cute rat. Anyway, doors open, goons grab him and take him from the room into the interrogation room. So this plays out several times. There is a torturer who is asking him several questions. Like, who do you work for? Like, who are you?
What do you think of the torturer, by the way?
He gave 110%.
That's one of the things that really stood out for me. I'm like, first of all, I don't know how, because the budget I'm guessing is low, but he got underpaid. That motherfucker got underpaid for this film.
See, this whole film honestly felt very play-like to me. Like I was watching it as a play.
There you go. Yeah. Because the emotions are so huge.
Yes. And there were a lot of times too that I felt like there should have been close-ups when there were far away shots, and there were far away shots when there should have been close-ups. So it just felt very play-like to me. But if it were a play, he would kill it.
Honest to God, yeah. We don't actually know anyone's names because my notes were like, I don't know. I was indisposed when I was taking notes. And then Brandon's got small little dinosaur arms, so they can't take notes that well.
I have tons of notes. They're just all in my little chicken scratch.
All in your heads. No, but...
But he was great because he would be like, please stay conscious while I'm torturing you. It was great. He was great.
He really was. And when you said about the play, and it's actually Lawrence Furnado.
Okay.
Is the torturer. And Paul Taylor is a torturee.
I called him Ratman because he started off with a rat.
When you said it looked like a play, that's kind of the feel I got from it too. Because as a play, you have to act bigger and it has to be louder and better because you have to make the people in the back row see you. Where film and TV is usually more reserved because the camera's right wherever it has to be, right?
Right.
And the energy and the presence, we'll say the stage presence, of Lawrence was just amazing. And I think it kind of gets you into the mental psychology of it, because that just makes the same thing anyway. But it really gets you into the feel of, this guy is going to meet some business. He's going to F you up. At some point, I'm like, my God, just tell him any fucking name. Like, just tell him a name, man. Just fucking make it up at this point.
That actually plays into one of the notes that I did write down, is a lot of times in torture situations, people will just lie. Just to say anything. And I kind of wanted to see that. Just like, you know.
I wanted to see this fucker get tortured even more.
Oh, I did. I did. I didn't think it was enough. But it was a 40-minute movie.
That is true. We've seen, you know what? That is something about torture revenge films. We did Ticked Off with Knives. And we're like, I need to see the rape more. I need to see the torture more.
Well, and that's one thing that I did put in my notes as a big thing, is that the payoff doesn't jive with the setup as much as I wanted it to.
Yeah, you did get raped. Is that what you're saying?
I am not saying that per se. No, I'm just kidding. There is a weird, I did write down that there was a weird, like, kind of like homophobic kind of like move when he goes behind the guy and kind of like gives him that massage.
You thought that too. I'm like, those guys are about to get it. Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, this is a very like homophobic flex.
This is very like prison bitch.
Yeah. This is like a very top, you know, move. This is a very like, you will submit to me.
Plus the guy is tied up, so it's not like he'd have much choice.
No. Right. And, you know, I thought the strangling scene was really good. Yeah. I thought it was pretty believable. The head bump into the table, I thought, needed some work because I kind of laughed.
It didn't foul. Like,
it looked like wrestling.
It did. It really did. And that's the thing. Like, when you're strangling someone else, and I was like, wait a minute, you're strangling from this way. Then all of a sudden, you're just kind of like moving around, like, oh, fuck it, bump him, you know.
And I didn't mind the head bump because that also plays into the poster. That plays into other things. Like, I didn't mind the head bump, but the head bump was a very, like, wrestling move.
And yet, better choreographed than a lot of the films we reviewed that had...
Ticked Off Tease.
Yeah. Thank you. I was going for that one. That had, like, $1 million budget.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck it.
No, I'll give that to them. I will.
And better effects, too.
Oh, yes. That was another thing, too, is that the effects were good. The only time that I didn't was when, okay, so, all right, we're kind of going all over the place.
Welcome to our podcast.
Welcome to our podcast. Welcome to my brain, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody in between. So every time he kind of goes out of consciousness, though, our main dude, Ratman, when he goes out, he starts seeing these visions of, like, these zombies kind of, that shuffle to him. The more he gets passed out, the closer they become to him. I like that we were talking about like the sets and stuff, the very minimal sets. I liked that. I like in the interrogation room how it was black and the door was black, but the door was texturized. So you could see the light kind of bounce off of it.
Right.
So it was still there, but it was a different texture. And I liked that.
It does ground it a bit that way, mm-hmm. too.
I don't know. It made it more surreal to me.
That's like, if you're going to torture someone, that's where you would do it. Like, you wouldn't do it in some dude's, like, bungalow just for giggles and shit.
I have to say, the music was very loud. A lot of times I couldn't hear what they were saying. And there was no subtitles. And I need subtitles.
Well, there was one that kept scrolling the bottom. I'm messing with you, man. Subtitles, motherfucker. You got.
They need subtitles.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be. Yeah, that's part of the things. You're not gonna. Most of the time, you wouldn't encode one with subtitle. That's why.
Okay. Well.
But I understand what you mean. Cause I had my. It was weird. I had some AirPods in instead of my surround sounds. And I'm like, shit, I can't hear. So I turn it up. And then also I was like, bam, bam. Like, what the fuck? Like, the sound mixing went wonky in one area. Like, almost blew my head off. Like, what the fuck? And then went back to low again. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like they did two different channels for, like, voice. Well, obviously, but.
I played it off the speaker that I had. So I didn't have it, like, earphones or headphones or anything like that. It was just. It was really hard because it would get very loud in certain areas and very quickly. I was kind of hoping it would kind of like rise as like the torture rises, but it was very loud very quickly. That's not to say I didn't like it. It was like a techno-y music that was kind of like from kind of like the early 2000s kind of-ish.
I was going to ask you about that. That was my note, to make a note to ask you about that, because if people who've ever listened to any of our podcasts, Brant does like most of them,
yeah.
Was there anyone you didn't? Okay.
I did one for Evie. No, I didn't do it for Hellos. I did one for Evie, but she never actually did.
Were you recording shit for Evie too?
I was.
She gave you just like stuff to say.
She's like, yes.
Oh fuck.
And then I asked her about it. She's like, yeah, I've been busy. But yeah, I asked her. Oh, I could do the music. What do you want? And she's like, I don't know, like Twilight Zone and Unsolved Mysteries. I'm like, oh, the greatest two shows themes ever.
You know, Star Wars, Indiana Jones.
You know, like the most amazing music ever made. Okay, sure. Yeah, no pressure. Cool. Yeah, so I did like the music.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was gritty.
It fit the scenery. It fit the characters, it fit the set designs.
Mm-hmm.
This very gritty, visceral. Blah.
And the Zombos coming out, it fit the Zombos. And I liked that too. Like, the closer that they got to the zombies, like, they had the red and the blue light. And I know that's been kind of done, especially recently a lot, with the red and the blue, red on one side, blue on the other side. But it really did look very nice. It really did make it pop, make it seem otherworldly.
The demons from hell trying to get their justice.
Or what? You didn't kind of know what was going on. You had a lady with a thing in her belly.
But no beaver,
no.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Bastard disappointed.
I was. And she kind of held the thing like she was afraid if she let go, it would fall down. And I was kind of worried about that.
Penis.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah, that's why we hold her. But it's okay. My version, my theory was when I first saw them, they were the voices of the damned accusing. Like, they were the wrong. Like, you did this. And what you see for makeup wise, it's not, what's that damn zombie? AMC's got it. It's not Walking Dead. It's not Walking Dead.
The Fear of Walking Dead?
No. But the makeup level here is not Walking Dead.
Oh, no.
But it doesn't have to be. It does not have to be to them. The makeup level here is at least a realm of realistic, where you can go, it can happen.
And honestly, too, it's, they use the shadows right, to where they use that in their advantage, and it paid off well, because it, less is sometimes more.
Yeah, it's like the bright red Klingon blood.
Yes. And, or the Hammer horror blood, that's just like that weird red orange weird thing.
Carol syrup, but not quite right Kool-Aid mix in it.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh yeah.
I thought, yes, they're mad about something. Maybe a little peeved at him.
They're peeved.
But this whole time we don't know who he is. He keeps saying he doesn't know who he is. We don't know why he's there.
Right.
The torturer keeps torturing him to get more information out, like whipping him. And
I think the whipping was...
Yeah, let me hear your whipping. Your whipping thoughts.
Do I have my whip anymore? Probably. Too far away.
It was a bit far.
Because it wasn't going to touch him. And yet it was cutting him. Which I understand from a safety position, they probably don't have to whip the guy, person, the actor, forget that. But fuck it, let's go realistic. Let's make some marks on him. Just a couple marks. Thinking, what's the worst happen? Lose an eye? Ho-ho! See what I did there for the ending? Well, no spoilers. But it gets brutal. And I do like that he's using a bunch of stuff. I wish he would have gotten more personal, up close and personal. Whip's kind of far away.
You know, actually, I feel that with most of the torture, it didn't seem as personal as it should have been.
Except for the choke.
And kind of the arm. I kind of liked the arm one. But we'll get to the arm one in a minute. But yeah, it was far away. I guess my pet peeve with that whole whipping thing was, okay, whipping, sure. But then the shirt didn't change. Like, the shirt wasn't dried blood shirt then after. It was just looked like still wet blood shirt next scene, and I was like, no, you need different shirts. Different shirts for different times. Yeah. Cake some gross stuff on there,
Make him poop himself. Well, I don't know why he's on his
honestly,
shirt.
Honestly, that's, I wanted more of that.
Me
I
too.
Did.
I think it's like,
His pants were too clean. His pants were way too clean.
Yeah, he should be defecating or this test. If anyone's listening, this is probably how we would handle being tortured. So when we were projecting, defecating and pissing myself are the first two.
Piss, shit, vomit. I want to see vomit.
And that's if I'm the torturer. God help me if I'm actually the person getting tortured. I'm like, oh fuck, the game's out. That's it. Who knows what's gonna happen then? Like, oh, why is this out? Well, most anyone touched me in years.
When people are getting, in horror, there's a lot of bodily fluids mixing about.
Oh, yeah.
Not just blood. Just
semen demon. Oh, wait, that's politics. And or 4chan.
Yes. There's a lot of shit going on and going around. His clothes were way too clean. His face was way too clean. I wrote that down a couple times in my notes. I'm like, I need him messier.
Gotta get more.
I need him grosser. I want this guy gross.
Fucking Caesar on stage. Everyone's got their hands in blood. Let's go.
And I don't think the guy that played Ratman or the torturee is a bad actor. I wanted him more grizzled, and I wanted him more fucking desperate.
Right.
Like, give this guy whatever. Piss yourself. Like, I don't know. Like,
dude. Be a method actor. Just completely let it go. But it does get to a point where when I'm watching it, I'm like, yeah, there's something reserved. Kind of like, well, maybe I just don't remember. Like, you actually believe he doesn't remember. Like, oh man, dude. And there's at some point you're like, man, just make shit up again.
Yeah.
So make some shit up, man, and all goes away.
Be desperate. I mean, especially the nails. I guess I shouldn't give away all of the things that they do.
They remove his penis. Oh, I said it.
Don't talk about his penis.
I would edit this out too. Damn it.
Yeah.
There are 15 minutes.
Don't talk about the gun that they put in his asshole and they greased it. Oh, wait, that was ticked off tease.
Yeah, sorry. Wrong revenge film.
Wrong revenge.
Although, that would make a very exciting end scene here.
But I think I also want to talk about, there is one scene that I thought would have been very good.
Yeah.
Very good. If just a little pushed more. Because there's a scene where he's tied up and he's about to be tortured again. He starts to hallucinate. And this could be great. I fucking love these. These are my bread and butter. I love crazy hallucination scenes because who knows what can happen? You know, we don't know. And at first, we get a spider. Do you remember this?
We'll go spider.
Okay.
Arachnid.
It's a something CGI. Very something CGI. And I had to rewind it just to understand what it was. Because I was like, what is this? And then I rewound it and then I was like, okay. And then after that, he had hands touching him. And I'm like, that. I like that. More of that. Like, right. That was what I liked.
Now, would you have gone to the pet store for like $5 and rented a tarantula?
Yes.
And got some real, like,
absolutely
freak out. And then, yeah, me too. That's what I was saying.
Absolutely.
Like, and I don't know when it was made, so maybe it's all
water. Or a snake.
COVID. Or just the Indiana Jones thing. It's like, yeah, there's some fake ones in there. Well, don't you mean some real ones? Like, no, there's just some fake ones. The rest are all real, man. Yeah, something that's going to be making the audience crawly. Creep out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Centipedes, millipedes, anything. Oh,
yeah. Go in the backyard. Get some earthworms. You know, like just and
put them around his feet.
Yeah, it's like put something there that is visceral. That
which I know the hands, which were the hands for you afterwards, which works. Right.
And honestly, I wanted them to bring it even more, push it a little more, because he's on this black backdrop. And at some point, I was thinking, because it's so black, so dark, pitch black. That something like eyes were gonna appear or hands were gonna appear out of it or something like that. And I was waiting for it, excitedly waiting for something, and nothing really happened. And I think they could have pushed it a little bit further to get a little bit more of a reaction.
That psychological imbalance.
Yes.
And it could have been as easy as God, what was it? Sword and a Sorcerer? No, that's not a Disney movie, is it?
No. I was like, okay.
I think that's not with Mickey Mouse. No, there was a movie that came out that was supposed to be like, oh, it's nothing. And it scared the shit out of an entire generation. And one of the reasons why is because they were so visceral in bodily fluids. And it was chunky bodily fluids. Like the blood was just chunky and it was all demon oozing. Which is basically just like sherbet. Something dousing in that. Like really having to deal with, again, like the shirt thing, but just even during the hallucination scenes, dealing with the blood, almost literal blood on your hands. Just like
chunk it. Definitely. Vomit it. Chunk it.
Yeah.
Gross. Yes.
Projectile shit down, man.
Because that is the thing that kind of just pushes that into the next level. And I felt like they held back on that when they could have and maybe should have gone a little bit further.
The same time, though, I did, and this might just come back to, again, the torturer's stage presence. It still was suspenseful.
Yes.
But I think it could have been more.
I think we needed, with our main character, to try to put us more into his mindset, into that crumbling of sanity.
Yeah, to see it all kind of fall apart. And maybe that was part of the, you know, especially during the shoulder massage. Tell me a nice time to really, like, oh, what the fuck you doing? Make me your bitch.
Right, because that is more of that's an interpersonal ickiness. And that works.
Yeah.
You know, when he's doing all these terrible things, that's an interpersonal.
I'm seeing him lick his ear. Oh, that's just me. That was probably just me. Never mind, guys. That's just me. Could you imagine that, though? I mean, the guys from Adam's, like, nibbling on the guy's ear?
Yeah, or, well, that's hard for me to say. Because
I'm telling some people any type of shit at this point.
That could be. And I guess we're getting closer to the
end. I'm remaking this as a pornographic film.
You are.
I'm making this like a black and white.
Why do you always do
guy this? And guy action? Like, I don't know. Fuck it. It's fine.
I mean, I need them consenting. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. Well, no, I'm not. I don't mean like just tie people up in a humbug. Sorry. Like, as we were teasing before, like rape is not our sponsor. No matter how bad 2020 is, not yet, at least. We'll keep that for
never.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Or no, sorry.
Never.
No, man.
Not as long as I'm around.
There you go. That's the thing. Rape will not be our sponsor.
That's.
But yeah, it's going to be like.
Put that on.
I'm thinking like a dad and a coach, or a kid and a coach. You know, the consensual thing, not like it happens in Penn State, but like the guy's running track. Wow, I'm getting way too much into this now.
And
I'm looking at their camera spots going, what the fuck are you talking about?
And I am wondering about you. And I'm going to quote this movie. I'm actually going to quote this movie.
Yes.
For this situation.
Do it.
Like, you make me sick. You're
so dumb. Ain't that the perfect fucking build with you?
This continues and escalates until we get to our ending. Which we will be vague about.
We will be very vague with the ending.
But in my vagueness, because of course, when you're in like the Twilight Zone box episode,
right.
You know, you're coming up with all these theories on your own. Like, ooh, what if it's this? What if it's that? And to me, I felt like like I said before, the payoff didn't jive with the setup. I would have liked to have little bits and pieces of the payoff in the setup, because mm-hmm. it just seems to have come out of nowhere. And it seems to have come very suddenly, like, oh, you remember now, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Right. And he's like, that's right. You're right. I do remember all of these things.
Well, my job's done here. Thanks for the back rub.
Thanks for the back rub and all them torture things.
Best leaving your nipples next time.
So, and it didn't, A didn't always, it didn't go with B, you know?
Yeah. And I'm trying to figure a way how to say this without giving away the ending. There would be a way to call back to the hallucinated jury of the damned, or the zombies, however you want to call it, that would have, if you, one major call back to them at the end would have done what I think you're suggesting the film could have done. I hate to be vague as fuck, so I don't want to spoil it.
Right. I think would have been a good idea is during the torture scenes, have bits of that ending in there, clues.
Kind of weave it through. Yeah.
Weave it through. Because there are scenes where he like will do something with a body part, you know?
Now who's a pervert?
Within that body part, he finds a certain something that will be the clue towards the ending. It gives you, your brain, the follow through, because that's part of the fun thing, like in Identity. Like, and the whole story, you're like, what's going on? And then at the end, you're like, whoa.
Like, oh shit, man.
But then you watch it again, and then you're like, oh, I see it now.
I see the pattern. Yeah, I see the breadcrumbs. He's missing the breadcrumbs.
Right. And that gives it rewatchability, because we do see these things that led up to this point. But this movie, that was a little bit more lacking to me. And maybe they were there and I just didn't see them, but I just didn't see them.
Right. But that was one of the things, as we talked before. If the movie, and this, I discuss this with writers all the time. A lot of it is, does a writer start too late? Meaning 12 pages of text that could have cut out and just like, that's actually page one, real page one's on page 12, just cut the rest of shit out. And do they end too, they start too soon? Yeah, start too soon and end too late. meaning it makes more sense.
No, that it does make sense.
Yeah, they could have ended it like 10 minutes prior and had like a fucking solid bam versus a little bit tacked on at the end. And I think that's what our little bit of frustration is. If we see a little bit more one way or the other, the tacked on would have breadcrumbed through, like, oh, cool. And the visceralness, I think, would be able to increase, and that would help with that right there. At the same time, it's not like a wah, 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 you know. It didn't kill the movie for me.
No.
It just made you wish going, damn it, this could have gone a little bit differently.
Absolutely. I didn't hate it. I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed the actors. The effects were really good, especially for...
No, they were.
I was like looking at it. I think like only like a couple people did the effects. So I was like really blown away by that. I'm like, wow, this is really good.
A lot of the post is.
The poster was great. The music was good. There was a lot of solid things in here that I think if just readjusted in certain ways, could have been just a lot cleaner.
And that's the beauty of it. And that's the beauty of any of, I'm going back to some of the people like Jean-Pierre, and he's actually out of Montreal, he does short horror. And a lot of the horror shorts have that. It's the plus and minus, because you'd experiment a lot. And if you're doing a horror short, you usually have this budget in mind, and you're usually doing a camera crew that's going to help you out, and you're probably doing something for them later on or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it really just takes that ability to going, I'm fucking done. Yay. One more. Let's edit this one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see this one more time.
One more cut. Let's try one more thing.
Yeah, because you don't want to abuse your crew, because I don't know if they got paid. I mean, I've been enough where the payment was a bottle of water. Like, that's here's your craft table, you know. So you don't want to abuse your crew for a short. At the same time, man, maybe you should. Like, it's just, especially for if it's the call, the torturer. You know, make it realistic.
Give them more cookies to just go.
Girl Scouts.
Bit. Give them a little bit more.
Smallers.
That being said, I think people should check it out.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think it's fun. I think it's one of those good movies for like a late night. This is not like an early morning. This is probably more of a solitary one too. I wouldn't have this as like a movie night thing, but more of a like, hey, I got a bottle of wine and some Cheez-Its. What do I have to do for 40 minutes?
Oh, give me some bottle of wine and Cheez-Its. For $5 a minute, you can see what I'd do for that now. But this made me think of the last drive-in with Joe Bob Briggs, and I can't remember. It was the anthology movie. I'm drawing a blank.
I don't watch Joe Bob Briggs. Sorry.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm like one of those. I just lost my one fan.
Lost your one fan.
I lost my one fan. And sorry.
Darcy's so good on Twitter. She's so sweet to us.
Oh yeah, like, she is very sweet. I've seen, yeah, on Twitter. I respect and okay. I like them.
Well, one of the things was
whatever.
It was an anthology, and I can see this being part of that. You know, if they cut it down, because you know the 40 again. If you cut that 40, if you got the 10 at the end, cut it down to a 20, 25, that would fit into an anthology.
And it'd be great.
Be a great, perfectly at home somewhere.
That'd be a great anthology piece.
Yeah. I think, well, because you know it's so easy. No, but that's not that's not even our advice, but that's what it made me think of. I was thinking, like, I'm not going to make a tight, if you cut this down, I'm going to make a tight anthology entry. And it's a decent standalone. So what we're saying is, almost a quote, Joe Bob, check it out. It's when it comes, go check it out. I hope they do some festival work with it, and I would love to see how it goes at festivals. And it's a perfect segue into our next podcast moment of something from Shudder.
Which is The Shed.
Which is The Shed.
Yes.
Because I'm a poor Canadian bastard, apparently, and I couldn't. I'm sorry. We were supposed to watch something else, and I completely ruined it for Bob.
And random acts of violence we were supposed to watch.
Apparently, because I live in Canada, I can't get that movie since it's being released in Canada. My bad. But The Shed sounds really good, too.
The Shed does sound like a lot of fun. Yeah, this is my,
I look forward to
my second choice. So
the second choice of The Shed. And so we want to thank, first of all, Little Spark Films for the screener of The Torturer. And we also want to thank, and before we talk about it, Shudder for the screener of The Shed.
Absolutely. Thanks both to you guys. Yeah. I haven't checked out The Shed's poster, but again, everybody check out the poster. I wanted to just shout out to that poster of...
It's
sick.
It would make a great cover for a book. It would make a great cover, for a movie, but it makes just great art.
Oh, it's so good.
Everything from the font that they use and...
It's just sharp. It's just sharp and gross and lovely. Just lovely. And once I check out the Shed's artwork, I will talk about that.
Damn right. And coming up next, and just because this podcast 5 minutes under the runtime of the movie we just talked about, so this is perfect timing for us to take the pause and then play a sponsor from not the beer or the wine, unless you want to sponsor us, give me beer and wine. Or you have to give me beer. Give box wine. Box of wine. Oh, my God.
Don't give me box wine, please.
Well, hey, I'll give that box of wine.
Give that to my mom. She'll love you for that. But here's a sponsor from our past. If you want to be a sponsor of our present, just drop Dr. Joe a line.
Jim, JimPhoenix at HauntedMontreal, MTL.com, or just tweet it out. Hey, proud. Just leave it on my doorstep. Hell, just give me a hamburger from McDonald's. It'll be fine.
I will shill your shit.
Damn right. Speaking of shilling shit, listen to Bloody Mary podcast after this podcast. It is the best Bloody Mary I have listened to ever. They were on complete point with a special guest star, Dr. Payne, whom they all apparently really love a lot.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, here's our sponsor of the past, and then we will be getting right to Shudder's The Shed.
That's right. Can't wait.
Spencer Davis, now two new flavors of Great Shakes Shake Mix. Milk chocolate and cherry vanilla. Both turn milk into a rich, thick shake. So thick, it stands up to a straw. Great Shakes!
Well, it's so good now. So, so good now. It's so creamy, thick and creamy. Any place can be a soda fountain now. With Great Shakes, Great Shakes. So if you want your own soda fountain now, go to your store.
Hello and welcome back. We are going to discuss now Frank Sabatella's The Shed.
Ooh, The Shed. I can't wait. Shed. I love The Shed.
So when I first saw this trailer, I was really interested in it because it seemed like it was kind of like a comedy buddy movie that was mysterious and like, what's in the shed? What's in the shed?
Thelma and Louise meets Cheech and Chong meets 30 Days of Darkness or 30 Nights of Weirdness or whatever that Josh Hartnett film is.
There's a lot of those.
40 Nights? Was it? Wait, that's Noah's Ark, 40 Nights.
Isn't there a one where he didn't have sex for 40 days?
Or that's something? Me. Oh, just 40? I'm sorry. My headphone cut off. It was just 40 days? Yeah, no. I think you're correct. I think that's probably a great horror film for most people, too.
Well, I was watching it. It is actually kind of not that. It is less comedy, and it's more kind of a coming-of-age drama-ish kind of story.
It's Breakfast Club with... No. It's
no.
16 Candles with less rape. There you go.
Yes, and less candles.
One more candle, because it's actually 17. So...
Oh, that's true.
One to grow on.
but it is very the like high school-y coming of age. We have our main character who is Stanley, and going through, he's being raised by his grandfather after something has happened, and just kind of his life and a shed. I don't know. It sounds kind of like,
but not a van down by the river, which is very important. I want Chris Farley to come back and do this.
So it's an interesting movie. What I found interesting about the trailer is that it's very mysterious. You don't know what's in it, the shed. You don't see anything in the shed. You don't know anything about it. Again, it's like he and his friend, it looks like a revenge kind of fun time movie. But in the very beginning of the film, it shows you exactly what's in the shed.
Harvey Weinstein. Oh, sorry. Different vampire? My bad. Oh, did I say a vampire?
The B word.
The B word? I mean, it's not a spoiler. It happens the first 5 minutes. This is a spoiler-free podcast.
This is a spoiler-free podcast. And honestly, too, if you look at the Wikipedia, it does tell you that, too. It says that it is a vampire. But we do find this out, like, within the first minute and a half.
Yeah, and I have to say, I did like the jump scare. For me, that was the shotgun blast.
That was the shotgun blast.
Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe I was just trying to chill out in my room and just look around, and or just my attention went like just my cat for a minute. I was like, bam! I was like, what? So it got me. It honestly did get me.
Surprisingly, it did not get me, but there were other parts.
You're on like Detroit. I don't think it even like, was that, is it here or my headset or is it outside?
Honestly, probably. Outside. I was like, oh, that must have been just outside. There were other parts that did get me because I fall for pretty much every jump scare. But let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we thought were good and some of the things that we wanted to see more of. Yeah, I don't want to give too much of the story away because it is mostly just him kind of fucking around with the shed. Although I should say that this is spoiler free. This is probably still not for kids because he's fucking around with the shed. And again, it's one of those movies where you think to yourself, this could have been probably avoided if he had just gone to an adult and said, there's something in my fucking shed.
There's something in my shed. There's a monster. Not your son. Don't send your dog in. Nothing ever good happens. Sending any animals into a shed.
I do want to say that there...
Oh, Joe, Harvey Weinstein. Oh, God damn.
He didn't commit suicide. Just saying.
Harvey? He's not dead yet.
Oh, well, I'm just saying that. Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Are you a future fellow? Shh. Braddock's from the future.
Shh. I'm just saying. Shut up. 2020 is a weird year, man. I'm just saying. I do want to give that because my mom always asks me, that's the very first question that she asks, is there a dog? And does something bad happen to the dog? So to animal lovers, I'm just going to say,
nothing bad happens whatsoever.
Anything.
No, you don't. Just bits and pieces.
So I'm just going to say that. But Ike the dog, I will say this is my criticism. We did not see Ike the dog soon enough in the film.
You wanted the dog early on.
I did. I wanted it day, like moment one. Just give me 15 minutes of just that dog.
Just the dog wagging his tail, playing in the shed, romping around, rolling on the grass.
Romping around, having a good old time.
Humping some legs.
Yeah. I ate the dog. That's one thing I like to see is just a dog.
His bitch. Oh, that was Tina Turner. No, like, Turner. My bad. Not calling Tina Turner a bitch. I'm just saying this.
You better not.
Female.
You bitches. Better not. Tina Turner is a goddess, sir.
Sir? Oh, no, I made it, sir.
Goddess.
No, I love Tina Turner. I loved Tina Turner before she was Tina Turner.
She's a private dancer.
And she runs Bartertown. In the correct version of Mad Max.
In a version of Mad Max.
Feminist version of Mad Max.
Not quite, but
shit, getting back on topic for
okay,
the shed.
So see, anyway,
this
the
is what
shed.
Happens.
The shed. That's for another time. So, okay. So I want to point out another, what I thought was a good point, which is the music. And I want you to hear me out, people.
No, I agree.
Well, the original score, yes. The original score was very good. But I want people to hear me out with the songs chosen.
Oh, I was talking score. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Because the score was very good. And it did, it added, it didn't detract from the scenes. It only enhanced the scenes, which is what you need for a score. But I was talking about the musical songs that were picked out for this, which at first were kind of grating on me because, again, it's your typical high school scene. So some of them were kind of whiny and emo and angsty and self-indulgent bullshit, but it's perfect for every teen movie and feeling and puts you right into that frame and mindset of just this aimless kind of bullshitness of teenagedom that these characters are going through. You listen to the lyrics and they're just like, I rage because I rage, which are not the lyrics, but something.
Sure, I'll give you that. I was just trying to think, I don't remember my teen years, so I'll just take your word for any of that.
Well, it's kind of a nostalgic thing too, because it's a easy shortcut to get us there into that mindset. But at the same time, as I was listening to that and feeling like, part of that was like, oh yeah, being a teenager sucked. And being this teenager sucked even harder.
But that's great that the music was able to bring you back to teenage years, so it connected to some memories. That's maybe why if they went with the Doors,
yeah,
back to mine, which is an odd choice not to do the Doors if you know who's in the movie. Well, it's not a spoiler. The guy's on the IMDb page. But the same guy who played Rabbit Krieger in the Doors film is also in this movie. Playing, like, the name, I guess, the main original antagonist.
The main one? The first one?
Yeah, Bane.
No, Bane was the actual main baddie.
And that's how I got my thumb dislocated. And then next time, when you don't pay a hooker up front, I tell you, man. But Frank Whaley, and this goes back to the acting here.
Yes.
Beautiful across the board.
Yeah, so Bane was the main...
Baddie.
He's
the main undead baddie, because there's also some bully baddies.
Right, there are bully baddies too. Because this is high school, guys, you know? Our protagonist is not the cool kid. Of course not.
No. He's Ducky.
He's like a more angry Ducky.
Or maybe Dahmer's Ducky.
See, I thought it was Dahmer more...
his ass kicked.
I got a more Ferris Bueller feel for this.
Ferris Bueller on, like, steroids.
Yes.
He's gotten over the lung infection that almost killed him by taking a lot of steroids. And he just got buffer.
Well... Okay, I know this is kind of all over the board, but yes, there are these main bad guys who are led by a guy named Marble.
Sorry, I laugh because it is Marble, but okay. That is a name, yeah.
Okay, yeah, by Marble, the bully, who is your stereotypical bully who says the F word and not...
He's Billy from Stranger Things.
No.
Or which one is Billy? Damn, I should watch Stranger Things more often.
It's more tropey than that. It's more like, hey, your boyfriend's over there.
Sloppy seconds. You know what? That is pretty realistic, though. That's what I'm saying. The high school scenes aren't written to a part where, like, I couldn't remember. I don't remember most of my high school, but I could see myself saying this.
Because you were the bully?
Yeah, I guess I am. I am Lars von Trier's bully.
Oh, my.
That's why there's
Lars
on our website.
Lars von Trier didn't do Bully.
By the way, this movie
Larry
significantly
Clark
better than Bully. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, which is great because both are kind of like the films of lost youth.
Yes. Well, this
Apparently, I couldn't get that.
Better than Bully. I can say that. But honestly, too, in the beginning, we have this interesting sequence that introduces us to the character, our main character. And I really liked that, too. I just wanted to give a shout out to that because it was a really interesting way to introduce the character.
And
that
it worried me.
Yeah. This poor kid.
You had a bigger worry. Your worry was that the mom or the girlfriend?
I thought the mom was either a mom or a girlfriend because she was really young.
Banging the mom. I know.
She looked really young. Maybe she had him real young. I don't know.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, she looks really young and the dad is relatively older.
He's of age. Yes. Looking. I don't know how to say that.
I don't know if the mom just looks really young because that's kind of what she would be as an actress looks young, or, now hear me out, because it's the dream sequence. Is he remembering back when the mother was younger?
Oh, maybe he is.
Right.
Which is also kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's all very Pleasantville. That entire family's the sequence is very Pleasantville, very weirdly Leave the Beaver.
But we're not going to go too far into it.
No, because it's absolutely not.
Good scene.
It is. And that's all I'm saying. For me, it was weird because I didn't put the expectation I thought in my head what I would see from the movie. I was like, oh, how the hell is this looking to be like Leave the Beaver then? And
I think you're right, actually. I think you're really right because there's a moment when he comes into the kitchen and his parents are kissing and his reaction is, ew,
more tongue? Oh, that's fine.
Gross. Like he's five. And this is a teenage boy, you know, like, you don't...
Going driving for the first time.
It's not like an ew gross kissing phase, you know? It's more of a like, oh, God, my parents are lame phase, you know? So I think you might be right.
Grab her ass more, Dad. He's giving direction to his parents. Like, grab her ass. No, that's me giving directions to...
Dad, I saw this thing on the internet you might want to try. I don't know.
13 psychiatrists say it won't damage my childhood at all. The fourth chief is right.
I don't know how loving families are. I don't know. Maybe that's how they are.
But you know what? We only see things through TV. I don't think anyone that I know grew up with like the loving family.
They have to exist, right?
They exist somewhere.
I mean, if art imitates life, if art imitates life, there has to be.
I think art is a version of what if life. Like the what if part of life. What if this was Zig or Zag? I mean, most of the happy families eventually fall apart in some horrific divorce anyways. So there's like stuff underneath the cracks. And this one, we're not going to say how this one falls apart. Or if it does fall apart, and I will give you the opinion, his happy family does not fall apart.
Well, we already kind of ruined that by saying that he lives with his grandpa.
Still a happy family.
Anyway, welcome to our depressing podcast.
Right. But you know what? This is a billed as a drama horror.
It is. It is very much a drama horror.
And that's, what do you say, a drama horror?
A drama horror, yes.
Which hits the genre perfectly. I think it is the genre and the horror aspects really well.
It does. I wish that it would have gotten more into Dahmer's history or his, you know,
backstory.
Yeah, why is he a loser? You know, why are they...
We're not calling him losers. You never deserve to get bullied.
No.
Dahmer, if that is your real name, as Payne would say.
Yeah, we don't ever know what his damage is. And that's kind of part of exploring a character, especially through teenage years, because when you meet misfits, other misfits, you're like, okay, so what's your problem?
All we know, he could be an asshole, too. Like, Dahmer could just be an asshole to everyone, and the cool kids are just picking up on
him. He kind of is, and I like that.
Slightly really is, he's McLovin. No. The one part, he's the kid that plays McLovin. I'm drawing blanks on names today, I'm so sorry. And McLovin with power.
He's better than that.
I don't think anything better than McLovin.
He's better than that. I actually really liked his character. I thought it was really interesting, and that's why I wanted to see more of it. Honestly, he was probably my favorite character. And we didn't get too much into his backstory. We got into...
Van?
Terrible with names. You guys, if you've listened to any of my stuff, you know that. main guy,
Stan.
Thank
Stan.
You.
I said Stan. Whatever. JJ Warren playing Stan. Very well done, by the way.
Very well done. Yeah.
JJ.
Phenomenal. And he looked like shit. And I say that in a great way. I say that in a really good way. Makeup did a good job because there were
the bruises and cuts still were all the way through with continuity, not like ticked off. Whereas like bruises, just like eyeshadow.
Yes. Yes.
The effects in this movie were pretty damn good too.
They were really good. They were actually really good. Practical effects people love them. I eat them up. I eat them up because they are so good.
I've seen
it.
It's dangerous.
It's, you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it.
Three people went missing last week. It was just Brannick eating them up.
I eat up the practical effects. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, plastic and corn syrup, but I get sick a lot, but
I miss the corn syrup.
It's worth it. It's worth it to me. But anyway, yes, the effects are really great. And again, he pulls it off. He really does pull off this character and he looks like shit and you feel bad for him. And it's perfect.
He's having a bad day. This guy's just having a bad
years. It's like years.
Ferris Bueller, everything went wrong.
Right.
If I bring the Ferris Bueller, everything just went fucking wrong for him.
You're right. That's exactly it. He's like the anti-Ferris Bueller. Yeah.
He could have had a charm life, but.
Yes, that's exactly it.
I mean, he had a charm girlfriend. I mean, Roxy is like Sophia Hapanen. I'm pretty sure I'm murdering her last name.
Probably. She's gorgeous.
She absolutely stunning. And again, good actress.
Great actress. And
again, someone you can believe doing the action parts. That was what the choreography in this movie is pretty well done as well.
Yes, I agree with that.
Because we get glowing reviews. Today's podcast, glowing reviews to streamers.
I have some things I'm going to talk about. But these are the glowing reviews. And honestly, there's a dream sequence with him. This poor kid can't catch a break. He can't even get like a wet dream out of all this.
Sincerely, he fucks up a wet dream. He really does.
He really does. I feel so bad for this kid.
I felt bad for me. I was like, yeah, I remember this 80 montages for wet dreams. Come on. I mean.
And this, yeah. But she looks beautiful in that scene. And again, she plays her part very well. And brings kind of more life to it than the writing does, I hate to say. Because I'm going to bring up one point, and here's the thing that kind of takes me off. She is the only female character, okay? She's her only female base.
There's a sheriff. You missed the sheriff.
That's true. You're right. I did miss the sheriff. You're right. Pars the sheriff.
Oh, I didn't call Pars the sheriff. That's, oh man. Pars, if you watch this movie, just remember, we love you.
We love you.
If you do watch the movie, it's on Shudder, streaming exclusively on Shudder, by the way. They bought the streaming rights.
Yes, this is only on Shudder.
Oh, and thank you, Shudder. Thank you, Sean, for...
Thank you.
This
was a delight.
Streaming love. It was brilliant.
I am old, and it took me literally 30 minutes to figure out how to do the apps and stuff. And I was cursing at my phone.
I was going to walk you through that.
Yeah, I just
want to see you struggle for a bit.
Cursing at my phone like an 80-year-old man. And that did not look good on me. So
this is a track phone. I was like, how do I get this? Is that even a smartphone? It's like one of those burners that drug dealers allegedly use.
Well, shut up. I'm in Detroit. Okay?
Yeah, I know, right?
I have to make a living. I have a nice house.
I had to explain that to someone. Like, why are these people using all these track phones? They must be bad drug dealers. Like, no, that's because it's burners. They go to the store and buy the cheapest one and knock them out.
It's so funny. My mom used to have a burner for a really long time because she was like, I absolutely refuse. And then she got a smartphone and she's like, this is the best thing ever.
My dad, too. I actually still have this one.
And I'm like, okay, well, I told you for a while, but you didn't listen, but okay. I don't have to even buy minutes. Yep.
My dad, too. That's what I'm saying. Like, it would last for like 15 minutes and I had to like cut off and I had to call him back. It's like, I can call forever now. I'm like, yeah, I know.
I can send pictures. Yeah, she's so excited to send pictures and emojis. She's found emojis, people. She's so happy. Hallelujah. And memes.
I had to explain what the eggplant water emoji was to someone's mom. I was like, oh no, it's not what you think it means. It's not what you think it means. You're not baptizing anyone's face.
It means maybe you are, good luck. It means good luck.
And if you're listening, because I know you are, love you.
It means good luck.
Yeah.
Totally.
It might mean good luck, yeah. Depends who it is. So I just do a donut emoji because I'm hungry.
Okay, so the shed. Thank you, Shutter.
Yeah.
I finally got it. I finally got it working. So, obviously. So, what were we talking about?
Oh, you were talking about the writing. You're about to trash Jason Rice and Frank's writing, which I will then defend.
You'll be what?
I will then defend the writing. After
okay. All right, perfect.
Trash it.
Right. Okay. Perfect. So the one thing that I did not like about it is that we have this female protagonist and she's going out with Marble, the bully, and he's a dickhead. And she's only really kind of going out with him because she wants to be on the popular side of things.
Right.
Rather than the unpopular side of things.
Again, have you seen 16 Candles or Pretty in Pink?
Yes.
That's basically the plot lines for those two movies.
I get it, man, but we're in a woke culture, okay? This is why I love 21 Jump Street, because it's so great.
Kinda.
That's what I liked about it, is like the rules of the game have changed, you know? So yes, there are still people who say the F word, and I'm not talking about fuck, you know, and things like that. But shut up. You're not supposed to say that.
Sorry.
Only I can say that, because I'm like part of that crew, you know?
Because you're German?
Partly.
You are part of the crew. I guess you're right.
So she's going out with this dick. And so Stanley has to keep trying to defend her honor in a way, I guess. Well, anyway, there comes a point when she's like, dude, you don't have to fight for me. Like, I can take care of myself, kind of a thing. And immediately after that, she is taken away by the big baddie, kicking and screaming. So I was kind of miffed at that a little bit, because it's like, yes, and then she has her moment, but then I'm just saying she has her moment.
Okay, just making sure.
She has her moment, but her moment didn't pan out, you know?
So
she doesn't even really have her moment.
Okay.
So it's a lot of hoopsie doopsy whimsy whimsy, or whatever Evie says. Yeah. Flippity floppity. So go ahead and defend that.
All right. I found it believable. And it might just be because I'm so old. Y'all use woke. I have to look that up. Like, what's woke?
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Not even my computer knows what that is, okay? It's okay, neither do I. But it's a believable high school relationship. It really is, especially if it's a small town. I grew up in a small town, and that was like the teacher turning its back on someone beating the shit out of you in school, like that, like the authority figure, like principal, whatever it was doing there. That's believable. That the person being, I'm choosing to be popular instead of like proper, that's 100% believable.
Yeah, that's believable.
The bullies getting the girl. Still believable. I mean, today, if you want to go back to the Josh Hartnett 40 days thing, I'm like, swipe vertically right now, I guess. I don't know what it is anymore. But it's completely, you know, the whole all assholes get all the chicks. Well, maybe not always. But in high school, well, I'm guessing pretty damn close still. I don't really see that really shifting. Like the nice guys get the girls. I don't see this as a natural habitat. I think in high school, especially because of the peer pressure and just the outrageous amount of drugs, alcohol, and hormones flying around, it's just a microcosm of fuckdom. And if you want to look at what America is right now, if you think that someone got elected because three people were like the bully in the movie, no, it's because millions of people are like Bane. Assuming not Bane, Marvel. If millions of people were like Bane, it would be a whole different fucking world. But millions of people are like Marvel, right? That someone will watch this movie and go, oh, they're cheering for Marvel. You know that, right? People will be cheering for Marvel. And they'll be upset, like, yeah, yeah, what's that douchebag trying to like hang out with, trying to steal his girlfriend? Beat his ass. They'll root against Stan and Dom. You know that's the world you live in.
But that wasn't my point.
My point is I like the writing. I like the writing because I like the story. I like the pacing of it.
I liked some of the writing.
The dialogue, I won't go into what happens, but the dialogue works two ways for, the dialogue works as a drama, mm-hmm. and it works as the horror, the catches, the one-offs.
Okay, so I'm going to put a little spin to this.
Guess who's getting the next screener? Ain't going to be you. Just kidding.
So, no, absolutely. I'm going to put my spin to this, and permission to get my gay little hands on it, Captain.
Ooh, go ahead, first matey, or whatever you're supposed to say.
Don't drop all right. Soap or something like that. So, honestly, I thought the most compelling scenes and the most chemistry of the scenes were between Dahmer and Stanley.
Oh, you think they're gay?
No, I don't.
I thought Dahmer was gay.
See, that would have made it better. I would have liked that more.
But it doesn't be, I mean, it's high school. I don't think Dahmer has to be openly gay. I just think.
He doesn't have to be, no. But that would have, I think, made it more interesting and more justifiable, some of the things he did later on than in the film.
I think that there's some sort of either filial or actual romantic love between them.
I don't, between Dahmer and Stanley?
Dahmer and Stanley, yeah.
I don't think. Maybe it was one-sided. I don't think there was. But looking at their chemistry, I couldn't help but think what could have been. And it would have been very interesting to have that as a coming-of-age story that was queer in this setting going on. Or at least have part of that in this setting as it's going on.
This is going to be me being... not awful, but like
a terrible person. Yeah.
A terrible person as I am. Would anyone get that greenlit? A queer coming of age story that's completely out in drama horror land.
I think there are more horror movies that are being greenlit. I think, unfortunately, some of them are more lesbian based because that's more palatable.
Always been Jesus Kills Zombies or Jesus Versus the Zombies, Jesus Versus the Vampire or Jesus Christ Vampire Killer. I forgot
there's
what it
a
was,
lot of Jesus Crisis.
Jesus had like a whole slew of women following him killing vampires. That's all I remember. Or like the old, the witch trials were basically, they're just like tit flicks of people getting tortured. It was torture porn.
Well, and lesbianism and vampirism have gone hand in hand for a very long time too. Yeah. Granted, yes, but I think just me as Brannick and my little grubby hands, I'm like, that would have been a fun movie. And they had the chemistry to do it. Cause sometimes that, you know, you watch Vampire Boys and Vampire Boys too. And you know, sometimes it's just not.
Fuck is Vampire Boys? Was that an actual film?
Oh, yeah, it is. And
is
guess
that a
what?
Tubi movie?
It is a Tubi movie, and I did do a podcast on it, and I will cut it one day.
Christ. You did?
With podcasting? It's with my Missouri friend. So
My
friend in Missouri. Missouri. So I just see something like this, and I'm like, oh, what could have been? Because the building blocks were there, and it's like, this could have been very interesting. Or even if it was a one-sided, I did remember, oh shoot, what was it? It was the one about the house and the axe murder.
House?
No.
Was it Borden?
Axe murder of Basilica? Basila? The one, okay. Anyway, it's a movie.
I barely watched the movies that you told me to watch yesterday.
I know.
Sangria of Santa or something like that.
Santa Sangre.
Oh, I was drinking Sangria of Santa.
Damn. Anyway. In that, it does have a gay character, and we find out later in the film of that. Spoilers, I guess. But I thought that was so interesting. I hated him as a character. Sorry, but I did. But I thought that was like, wow, that's great. That's a great step in that direction.
So you wanted Scream?
I didn't want Scream, no, because I don't like Wes Craven. But
no, at the end, there's the killers are two gay kids.
In Scream?
You need to watch this movie, you.
Again? I don't know. I don't.
Fast forward, or just watch Haunted House. Not Haunted House. Just watch Scary Movie 1, and you get the same thing, but a better movie.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that because I don't know if I could watch that again. It's Wes Craven.
I'll give you a hint. They start killing people to get rid of the girlfriend so they're going to be together. That's the ending to Scream.
Okay. Well, I want a healthier relationship. Okay.
Right. But I think we have that here in The Shed. I think we have a relationship where they're just not someone, he's not the big brother. I don't get the big brother relationship between Stan and Dahmer. I really get something that, you know, not saying they had sex, I'm just saying a little more friendly than guys might be. Or maybe, like I said, it could be just a really big filial love. It could just honestly just be something they grew up together, they're tight as hell.
See, I think that's it because they both came from shitty backgrounds and they grew up together. So it's like those shitty backgrounds push them closer together to where I think that's what Dahmer is afraid of. He is afraid of losing Stan to
perfect
lady.
Right. A competing act, which is great because one of the taglines to this movie is beware the evil within.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I don't necessarily mean The Shed. I don't think they mean The Shed. I think the evil within the people.
Yeah. Honestly, there is a line that she says that kind of... That, you know, he always has to do good. Stan always has to do good. Kind of goes and shows later on in the film as we progress.
Which is why he has a shitty fucking day. Because he's trying to do the right thing the entire film.
Yes.
Even in Wet Dreams, he's trying to do the wet thing. The right thing.
The wet thing.
Which is the right thing, yeah.
The right wet thing. And the sad thing, too, is during this whole, like, because in the beginning, you get this whole sequence of, like, you know, how everybody hates him in the town. Like, the sheriffs hate him. The kids hate him.
He's the poor kid.
He's
with a drunk grandpa.
He's from juvie. He has this checkered past. But honestly, you look at him and you're like, he's a good kid. He's a good kid. He's just playing with knives in the attic.
I actually have them in my bed. I honestly do. I have a set of throwing knives.
I don't have throwing knives. I just have a couple of knives and a couple of katanas, you know, for funsies. But, you know, like, to dick around with. It is a very kind of like everyman film in a way, because I could see a lot of people seeing themselves in this guy because he has had...
Yeah, like Dahmer could see himself in this guy. Oh, burn! Bam! Is that the gay hands on you wanted?
Is that a burn or is that supposed to turn me on?
I don't know. I was going for a high school burn. Oh. I guess that it was also playing into what you wanted. So, I guess.
Anyway, let's, I guess, move on roughly part three. We're not going to go all into it.
Act three.
Act three, which is also called, part three, which is act three.
No. I'm pretty sure you're making that part up.
I am making that part up. Act three. I wrote it down as part three, so, which I wished was stronger. There's a few things why. I actually liked a few things because, of course, we're going to have our getting down to business montage. I thought that was really well done. And that was a good gear up.
It's a bit funny. It does shift directions from a drama into horror.
Yes.
Almost like a cheeky horror at that part.
And almost kind of like a fuck you horror. You know, like, come on. Come fucking get it.
It reminded me a lot of the horror in the 80s that way.
Absolutely.
And a little bit of Night of the Living Dead.
Honestly, this whole movie kind of reminds me of the 80s movies and early 90s. Like, we keep talking about, like, it reminds us of, like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off and 16 Candles and, you know, things like that. But it is very reminiscent of those types of films. We don't really see kids on their laptops or kids fucking around with their phones or, you know, things like that that bring us into the technology.
They're too damn poor to have a laptop or a phone.
They're too poor to go skating. At one point,
that was sad.
Yeah, I can't even rent the skates, so I just sit there and watch them skate by. I'm Dahmer. Have sex with me.
Oh, I'm getting back like an Eeyore porn now. What was that? See, I gave you like the gay thing. Now give me the Eeyore porn.
We get back into this like mood of we're going to take care of business. This is going to happen. And this is where, like you said, it kind of shifts a little bit. This is also, too, where it kind of doesn't work completely for me, because it's not his journey being fulfilled. His journey is basically supposed to be sense of self. He has lost so much in his life. And so what does that mean? What should that mean in the end? And what it does mean in the end is kind of also reminiscent of the early 90s. Of a lot of films, that how they end. And I felt like it could have pushed a little bit harder.
That's what she said. Could have pushed a lot harder. Or he said.
Or they said.
Or they said. Or they said.
Yeah.
I can't say that one yet. Z?
Shay? 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 I can't say. Shay? Okay. What we all said together, yes. Holding hands across America. So that was my take on that.
Now, I think there was a journey. I do think there was a journey, because he starts out with a, like I always come back to this, like it's Ferris Bueller for very bad life. And Cameron is Dahmer.
Yep.
My God, it is Ferris Bueller.
I know. I told you.
Oh, fuck.
I told you. It's Ferris Bueller with a vampire in a shed. Yeah. That should be the tagline.
No, but, you know, it's one of those things where, again, I'll give you one problem I have. Okay. The one problem I have, and it's just the logical side of me. As soon as I see something in the shed, I'm not setting the dog in. Mm. I got a gun. Come on, getting it. And if it's like a supernatural thing, I'm burning the motherfucking shed down. Act one will be done. Like, one and done. I know you can't do it for the movie. Like, yeah. It's like the guys who don't get out of the haunted house. I know you need the setup to keep them there. Otherwise, there's no movie.
Right.
But I'm like, fuck this shit. I put chains around it. Cool. Where's the gasoline at? Fuck
yeah.
I'll explain. I burnt down the shed on my property versus whatever the fuck's in there.
Yeah. I'm not that curious.
Nope.
Nope.
Mm-mm. I ain't gonna find out. I don't even care. But he does have a trajectory, because you think about it, Dahmer is not the only one getting bullied.
Right.
It's really both of them. He's a little bit better at fighting back. And sometimes he has to pick up Dahmer's slack because Dahmer is just a punch and bang, which, you know, I'm not saying, and again, I think that's realistic. So you have this kid who could turn. He had a lot of shit wrong in his life. He could absolutely turn like child of God, Cormac, like in that movie with that book, excuse me. But he doesn't. He could completely, you see the seeds of doing this, so he tries the right thing. They even had the running scene, mm-hmm. where Ferris Bueller's trying to get back home before the cops.
Yes.
There's no barbecue in the backyard, though. I think that would have been like one more, you need a barbecue in the backyard. If there's an edit with that, I would love it. But he has this, when we see that Dahmer does give it. He does become very, very dark. Absolutely. Just dark and evil. Again, not giving anything away. It's just, this sets up the
tone.
The three, yeah.
Yeah.
This is something that I think you wanted to see some sort of breakthrough, or you wanted to see some big character shift. But I think just him being able to be at peace with himself and really stand up, not just against the bullies, against everyone. I think that's what the thing that was missing, because he never stood up to his grandfather. He never apparently stood up to anything before, because he was in juvie. So he's probably a troubled kid. And really just see that person come through as from childhood to adulthood in this movie. When it says a coming of age, it's really coming of age for Stan. He becomes, like, today you're a man. He becomes of age in this movie. Who cares? Pain.
How did he get in here?
I got the password. That's why I own you all. What movie is this? Who cares? That's what movie this is.
It doesn't have any Bush, so you wouldn't be interested.
Bush? Isn't that the shitty band from the 90s? I'm done. I can't do this shit no more. It's all you guys. Is Bye.
Oh, God. He's still here. Okay.
He's
gone.
I need to change the password once in a while.
Yes, you should really ban him from everything.
Ban
everything. I'm still trying to delete his existence.
This is how he gets so many podcasts. He just pops in now.
I agree to you. Point from Act 1, Act 2, and I think it just kind of fell a bit for me in Act 3.
Okay.
At the very end. So I agree. I saw the trajectory. We were going with the trajectory. I liked where it was headed. And then I think it just, I would have wanted to see them push that more, push him more.
And without giving away any endings, I would say I think that there is part of self-sacrifice that comes out in more than one character, by the way. More than one character. And even people that the new alliances are formed. What did you say? New alliances are formed in three.
There's a lot of butts kissing.
Yeah.
There's not.
Well.
There's, oh, spoiler alert. No, I'm just kidding.
That meant like literally butt kissing, which I think is during that dream.
Overall, I would say give it a watch. It's fun. It's not the comedy that you're expecting. I would say don't watch the
trailer. Because it's a drama horror, so it's not a comedy at all.
It's not.
It's not the Disney film you're expecting because it's not a Disney film.
I would not watch the trailer. I would just go into it cold and just imagine it as Ferris Bueller with a zombie, but not funny. Sad.
My God, I think that really hits it home. I mean... There's even that part where they see the Cubs play. I'm like, what the fuck? No, it's not that far. But it does fit a lot of fucking shit, man.
Yeah.
It does check a lot of Ferris Bueller boxes.
And it does make you feel, in a way, kind of nostalgic.
Yeah.
And in a way, kind of, I don't know, gross nostalgic. Kind of like, ugh. Gross. I remember those times when I was wearing that grunge fashion.
Just yesterday, I think.
And listening to on my headphones to terrible bands. No offense. Terrible songs, I should say. I don't know who the band is. They could be wonderful and I just
They were a group in I think the '70s, the band. I forgot who the members were. Oh, I think the members were actually a punk group in the '80s. So yeah. Sorry, you asked who the band was. I'm like, I don't know who the band is.
Thank you for everybody for letting us watch this ahead of time, for letting us review this.
Yeah,
it was a fun treat. I almost got Spouse to watch it.
Ooh,
I know, almost.
Which is weird because of all the films you try to get Spouse to watch, this is the one to do it. It's beautifully shot.
Yes.
It's got a great score. The special effects are just gorgeous. And the acting is ridiculously well done. I don't know where they found them from, but the kids act, the kids, they probably 20 years, but.
Act righteously self-indulgent and angsty and angry and frustrated all at the same time.
It's like wonderful. Casting was so perfect.
Yes.
It was amazing, and choreography was nice, and the concept was great, and I like the duality of the monster in the shed and the monster inside people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have Shudder, there's no excuse not to see this. And matter of fact, I hope this will be one day be a last drive-in movie, because I'd love to see a deep dive around this one. But it really hit a lot of boxes for me. I think when this comes out for realsies on Shudder, we can do a review that has an actual rating on it.
Mm-hmm.
for both movies. That's one thing I don't like doing for anything that's a preview. Obviously, I can say it's a great movie. It's this, and this, and go see it. 100%. I'll back that up. And I just don't want to give a rating on a movie I can't discuss the ending about. So there's things that I want to discuss why I give this rating.
I understand that.
If you have Shudder, it's an instant hit. If you don't have Shudder, Shudder's so cheap. This movie alone is worth the price for a month of Shudder. I would get Shudder just to watch this movie. It's like you could rent this movie or get Shudder for an entire month and watch a bunch of stuff too. Like,
they
just
have
get Shudder.
Shows. They have other movies.
Amazing shows. I love The Last Drive-In, although I'm getting so old I can't stay up that late anymore. So I have to I do catch the first half. I like the original content, and that's something where Shudder really brings it home. But Shudder is pure horror.
Yes.
That's why I love it.
And for horror fans.
Yeah.
Specifically.
And I didn't know this. Not only are they buying exclusive streaming rights, but apparently, I didn't do my research. This is something I read on Reddit. God help me. They might be also producing content. I mean, really producing content. Obviously, they have Shudder produces content, but I think they're going into movies and more and bigger and bigger content areas.
Allegedly.
Again, if I'm wrong, guys, just like slap me around. I apologize. It's something I've read that's already out there. And it gives, I did Haunted Metal. I think it might be Haunted Metal at this point. Fuck it. Just to give people a voice in the horror community that, you know, writers and artists and reviewers, give them a true voice where they don't have to worry about too many edits or too many censorship issues. You can't be a dick. I mean, that's the point of the voice to have. But, you know, Shudder didn't pay us money to review this. We can say whatever the fuck we want about it.
Yeah.
The other people, like, no one's paid us any money to... We gave one book, like, a 0 star. Because the author came to us for review. And...
It was Evie. And she did a really good job, guys. I would check it out. She was funny.
I read it at the airport. I'm like, oh, yeah, it was good. But we give 0 stars. Because we give 0 shits, people.
I would not give this a 0 star at all.
No, my gosh, no. That's what I'm saying. Like, we don't blow smoke up asses to get anything. It's really the best horror movie I've seen this year. Let me caveat this. This is not something I revisited from previous years. Yeah, I know. Sorry, Brad, if you had me like watch really crappy horror movies lately.
What the fuck? Santa Sangre was great.
Oh my god, no. The elephant dies from a suicide to get out of acting. I was like, fuck this.
I can't say anything because I recently saw a really good movie. So El Hoyo, which is The Platform or The Hole in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a good movie. I enjoyed it. I had fun knitting while I watched it.
You lost me at knitting when you watched it.
Fine. Okay. Yeah. What I liked also about it too, before, you know, and again, like, I know I said a whole bunch of shit, but what I liked about it too is that now that I'm thinking about it, it didn't have shitty jump scares. God, I get so tired of those shitty jump scares.
And the funny thing is, the shed didn't really have jump scares either.
Well, it did have a couple.
But they're not gratuitous and no, they're natural.
That's what I'm saying. They weren't shitty.
Yeah.
They were.
I thought you're talking about the hole.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're talking about the shed again.
Sorry. I was going back to the shed. I'll say my piece about The Platform later. But no, going back to the shed, it didn't have any shitty jump scares. There were some jump scares, but they were pretty good. I mean, they weren't stupid cat jump scares.
No, and it all made sense. They even did a Chekhov's gun a bit, mm-hmm. which I can always appreciate the art which again goes back to the writing. I can always appreciate the writing that can do that. Like I said, this is the best movie for horror I've seen this year. I think the movie is well worth the price of Shudder. And I enjoyed it. I look forward to seeing more of I almost said more of the shed.
The director?
I want to see more from Frank Sabatella. Like, this is the great little package, man. I can see where this could be the stepping stone to much, much bigger things.
Mr. Sabatella, if I'm saying your name right, which I'm not saying your name right, which I'm sorry.
Blink 3 times.
I'm very sorry. Maybe next movie? Maybe make him gay.
No.
That would be pretty cool.
Or conversely, if you want the next movie to be greenlit, don't make them gay.
Wow, that's really not ally friendly of you, Jim.
Ally friendly of me. But
that's
here we
fighting
go.
Words.
Is it?
Yeah.
Now defend it. Defend it. Why is it fighting words?
Okay. So I think that especially now, I think there are more, especially like you said, with smaller companies like Shudder taking on these projects.
Yes.
And independence, now that he's got his foot in the door, he can maybe demand something like that now.
You almost had it.
Well.
Don't say demand.
Okay, request.
He can bring something to the table. So you're saying maybe a great streaming company like Shudder, who can be all-inclusive for all horror fans.
Which they have proven. They have proven.
Greenlight a movie with a gay protagonist.
Yeah, or protagonists.
And plural. I'm cool with
possibly.
That. So you're saying it's really up to the... companies who, the production companies who can get movies off the ground and give them a safe place to work, it's really up to people like Shudder to go with their proven track record, especially for things like Scream Queen, and go further with more great movies for an audience that is really underrepresented by everyone else in the industry.
That would be a great niche for them.
Uh-huh.
And especially having directors that are talented and would be interested in that.
I'd love it.
See, I would love it too.
You thought I was saying I was anti-gay for a second, didn't you?
No, I didn't say that. No, because you've been dealing with my ass for too long.
Jurassic Park? Sorry. You know what Evie's friends with?
Who? Payne?
Payne, yeah.
That's a dirty lie. I think Court is friends with him. I think they're besties, actually.
I think they're at an own Facebook group. And now we come to the time of our podcast where we
gossip.
We're gossiping about our coworkers.
Okay. Anyway, so good film. Good job, guys. Thank you so much. We enjoyed it. And we look forward to seeing what you guys have in the future.
Absolutely. And if anyone's wondering, if you go to Rotten Tomato, the shed photos are real captures of the movie. And even the stills are amazing to look at.
It's a very visually beautiful movie. Again, like I said, it's very reminiscent of kind of 80s and 90s movies in a fun way.
So we hope you enjoyed our podcast. You should watch the short film. It's only 30 minutes or something like that. And definitely check out Shudder and The Shed. You can Shudder in The Shed. We can see if you liked it as much as I did, or if you had memories of high school, like Brannick still does.
Terrible memories.
Yeah. We need to see more inclusive horror.
Yeah, and Shudder, if you want ideas, just hit me up.
Brannick does draw a mean dinosaur.
I got tons of ideas.
Which we'll see in play in JM Squared.
Yes, eventually.
Yeah.
We will.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
We will see. Anything to plug? Anything to plug?
Oh, plug.
Plugger hole!
Oh,
Jesus,
God.
Mate. I want to plug something. I've got something coming out with who? Brannick. Who the hell's Brannick? I don't care. Brannick is just superfluous. We don't need a Brannick. We need more pain in the world. And I've got something coming down the pipe. Mostly me, the doctor of pain. More just Dr. Pain. Doctor of Pain is actually more.
No, it's pain. Song. It's just pain. Lots of pain. A lot of pain.
Pain. A lot of pain. You're going to need a Goscue stretch to be pain-free. Get it? Pain-free. Actually, I get charged a lot. I charge a lot of money. And I'm even doing special events. I want to plug one right now. I'm getting paid $15 a second to leave voicemails on people's phones. I don't know how it works. I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing.
I'll back that up.
But it's a lot of cash, Ola. Back to your pot. What's this podcast? What is this? A combo box? Something like that?
You were on it.
Who cares? Oh, this is the one I made number one. Good luck, Jimbo.
Okay.
It comes and goes.
Yeah.
It comes and goes.
Just like a butterfly, I guess. Shit stained butterfly.
Name my sex tape. Or it's gonna be a title of my sex tape, I guess. Shit stained
butterfly. Name of my band.
Your band in high school? Yeah. I feel like that's a bit.
So I think I'm good. Are you good?
I'm silent bobbing this one, I'm not saying anything anymore.
Okay. Thanks everybody. We'll see you next time.
Doodles.